Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the big show. I am Jerry O'Lennon, along with my Wednesday guest, Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, a licensed and marriage family therapist. And we have been talking about gratitude for the last few weeks. We oftentimes express our gratitude and tell people, thank you so much for that wonderful, thoughtful gift you gave us. Thank you for thinking of me. Thank you for doing this for me. But do we show gratitude? There's a difference. It's easy to express it, to say thank you, and you've expressed gratitude. It takes much more to actually do something and show gratitude. And that's what we've been talking about with Gidi. And good morning to you, Gidi. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
These discussions, if people listening at home or on their radios in their car, I hope that they think about that, because when you actually expend the energy to actually think about, okay, I need to show gratitude, not just express it, not just think about it. We always think about it. When we're driving, well, what a beautiful day. I'm so thankful for this day. Well, this is really a nice day. We always think about it, but we don't actually...
Well, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking of the part in our worship where we sing the doxology. Mm-hmm. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Mm-hmm. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When do we sing that? It's when the collection plate is presented before the altar of God. And so what we're saying is we're expressing our gratitude to God for the gift of life and for the many blessings He has showered upon us. And we are giving our tithes and our offerings to Him as an outward and visible form, as an outward expression of that gratitude.
And that's why tithing is so important. It's not. I think a lot of us think, well, the tithing is important because it maintains the church. It pays the bills. It pays the salaries. It pays for the bread and the wine and the electrical bills, the water bills, etc. All of that's important. But the tithing is actually a way of expressing your gratitude.
It is. Yeah. It's a way of saying thank you to God. It really is. It's a tangible way that blesses others.
Right. So I think when we think of it just in terms of just a monetary thing, it's more than a monetary
thing.
It is a sacrifice on your part.
We reduce it to the monetary because it's easier than bringing in the eggs and the chickens and the, you know, whatever people would offer in the olden days. But I wanted to share another quote from G.K. Chesterton with you. He wrote, "I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder." Mm-hmm. Let me read that again. Okay. "I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder."
Okay, those are kind of two quotes, two thoughts. Let's go through the first one. I'm not sure I agree with it. I would maintain that thanks, the highest form of thought.
The highest form of thought.
How do you define highest form?
Well, maybe he means the ultimate.
Okay. The ultimate form of thought.
Yeah, like there's no form of thought that could surpass showing gratitude.
Okay. All right. And then the gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. It sounds great. I'm not sure I understand it,
though. Okay. Well, I'm not sure either, but I'll tell you how I'm seeing that. That when we express gratitude, we are taking our happiness and multiplying it with the wonder. And I think the wonder and the awe come, you know, he was a very strong Roman Catholic. Chesterton was. He was an adult convert to Christianity and to Roman Catholicism. He was an Englishman. Mm-hmm. So when that gratitude, the highest form of thought, comes to us, it includes that element of wonder and awe, according to Chesterton. And the wonder and the awe of it is, why me, Lord? You know, we often, when bad things happen, we say to the Lord, why me? But how often do we ask God when good things happen, when blessings and graces and things that we absolutely do not deserve come our way? How often do we say, why me, Lord? Why did you choose me for this blessing? And I think that's part of that wonder.
I think I get the first segment. Now, when you said something, it made me think of it. I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought. When I first heard the term highest form, I thought the biggest, meaningful, highest, I think, is in terms of our relationship to God.
Development or its maturity.
I was imagining something, maybe a philosophical thought or some deep thinking, E equals MC squared, that kind of thought, that kind of highest form of thought, of thinking, as opposed to the significance of
everyday thanks.
That's the highest form, as opposed to, because what could be higher than that?
Yeah.
You know, being thankful to the Lord for what you've been given, what could be a higher thought? I don't think I could imagine anything of a greater thought that you're going to have during the course of your day. I'd have to think about that for a while, but I'm not sure that there is any.
And you know, our listeners can put this quote to the test by seeing if when they express their gratitude, if their happiness is doubled by wonder, if that element of wonder, if the joy is increased and the wonder enters into the picture of it. I think it's a very provocative statement.
It is.
That he made, and probably came out of his own experience, would be my guess.
I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought. G.K. Chesterman. We're going to take a break. We'll continue our discussion with Dee Dee Hanson, The Growing Place, talking about gratitude, not just expressing it, but find ways to show it. We'll do that right after this break.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is live local talk.
So wake me up when it's all over.
All right, welcome back to the show. Glad you're with us. We're talking to Dee Dee Hanson with The Growing Place, discussing gratitude. And we've been going through a comment or a quote by G.K. Chesterton. I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. All right, Dee Dee, we'll keep moving on. Okay.
Was an American politician who died in 1936, and he said, if a fellow isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely to be thankful for what he's going to be. So let me read that again. If a fellow isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely to be thankful for what he is going to get. And so this, I think, is a very interesting quote, especially coming from a politician. How often are we truly thankful for what we already have? And how often do we need
to look to having more and more and more? Or how often do we delay our thankfulness to the future in order to postpone it, when we could have gratitude and happiness today for everything that we already have? What do you think, Jerry?
I think we do. We do delay. I think that we, as a general rule of thumb, we kind of procrastinate on things that we don't want to bother with. And I think if what we're saying here is, if we show it immediately, it has a greater impact.
Well, the way I look at it is, think of when your kids were young and they always wanted more, more, more. And were you more likely to give them more if they weren't grateful for what they already had? Or were you more likely to withhold it until, like, they have a chest full of toys. They have rooms stocked with toys. And you go out and they say, Mommy, Mommy, Daddy, I want that toy over there. Mm-hmm. A parent's natural response very often is, well, what about all those toys you already have? Aren't mm-hmm. you grateful for those?
Right.
What do you want to do with that? So why should I give you more when you don't even appreciate what you have?
That's difficult to say because I haven't done many good things in my life, Gidi, but I've raised two good boys. And I would say that they are very thankful for everything they have.
That's beautiful.
They really are. And you're right. The more that they appreciate it, the more that I want to give them.
And I think the same principle works with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the more we appreciate what we already have, the richer we are, because we have what we have, yeah, instead of just storing it or discounting it or whatever we do with all of our possessions.
And from a area based on faith, sometimes it's difficult for me, and I hope I'm speaking for other people, and I'm not just sharing thoughts that I have, but I hope that other people sometimes feel this too. I look at myself in my life, and I see that I'm such of an imperfect person, and I commit sins on a regular basis, and I go, okay, why is it that God is giving me all these blessings?
Exactly.
I don't have any right for any of this.
Right.
And so somebody will say to me, says, but you have so much. I don't deserve any of it. I'm not just saying that to be, it's not false humility. It really isn't. It's like, I look at my life and the way I've lived, and I mentioned, and I've talked to other men who've had similar lives that I have had, and they're young, when they were younger men, and the things that they did that they're probably ashamed of. And I go, how on earth is it that I have all of this when I deserve to be? And it really is hard for me to understand. I'm not just saying that in a false humility sense. I almost every single day I think, okay, the jig is up. God's gonna come down and say, you know what? You have lived a bad life your whole life. This is it.
Yeah.
And I think that I wonder if other people feel that same way.
I think that's anybody who's really in touch with reality, I think that would be a universal feeling.
Right.
But we can always deceive and fool ourselves, you know, into thinking that we're something that we're not.
Right.
Or we deserve everything. In fact, we deserve a whole lot more. You know, think of the root of envy.
Right.
What is the root of envy? Why do you have that? That should be mine. You know, think of the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet.
Right.
It's this idea that what I have is not enough. And I should have what you have, and you shouldn't have what you have.
Yeah, I was talking about this before other times. I'm not sure, and I've shared this with other people, and I'm not sure they fully agree with what I'm saying. The idea of not having those thoughts, for me, sometimes can be exhausting. If you really try to go your whole day without having any thoughts like that, like, gosh, I should have that. Why don't I have more? It's almost impossible.
Well, you got to start recycling those thoughts.
Right.
Suppressing them will only increase its power and strength.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have an envious thought, then I can recycle it by remembering what God has given me and expressing thanks.
Right.
And I have found if you really want to put out the fire of envy, mm-hmm. ask God to bless the people you are envying.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's like a cold shower on that heat of the wrath of envy, and just say, God, you've given them this much, give them more, bless them more. Thank you that, you know, and may they use their blessings to glorify you. And what you've given me is probably to my capacity. Remember the proverb that at the end of Proverbs, Lemuel, I can't remember how to pronounce his name, says, Lord, don't give me too much because I may forget you and profane your name, and don't give me too little because I may sin, meaning I may steal or do something to break your law. But give me just what I need to live a life that is pleasing to you.
It comes down, Gidi, to being conscious.
So what I'm trying to say is recycle those.
Right.
Don't just try to suppress them.
Mm-hmm.
Or just redirect to God. It's really easy. A bad thought comes up and say, God, I want to focus on you, not on this thought.
All right, we are going to take one more break and then wrap up the show talking with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place, a licensed marriage and family therapist. We will wrap up today's discussion about gratitude right after this.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, we're speaking with Agiti Hansen at The Growing Place. If you're looking for a marriage counselor, a licensed marriage and family therapist, you should contact Agiti Hansen or some of the other therapists that are at The Growing Place. Their number is 588-0448. You can also look them up by going to tgplace.org, tgplace.org. And Agiti, I know when you talk to people and you have, you know, clients, is the issue of gratitude something that, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this. That could be a root of a lot of problems.
Yes.
With a lot of things.
Yes, you're totally right. For instance, what Aldous Huxley has to say, most people have an infinite capacity for taking things for granted. And if I have a client who is dealing with depression, you can be sure they are not being grateful. And we've all dealt with depression. I don't want to feel, you know, like I'm picking on people who've had depression. I've had plenty of it in my life. But very often when we are stuck in a place of depression or anxiety, we are forgetting to be grateful.
We
have what Aldous Huxley calls that infinite capacity for taking things for granted.
Yeah.
You know, let's say somebody is so depressed they can't get out of bed. And they don't feel they have anything to be grateful for.
I felt like that at times.
Yeah.
I think we all have.
Yeah. And so what we can be grateful for is a nice, clean, warm bed, a roof over our heads, and some food in the refrigerator that enables me to be able to spend some time in bed and not run out of food and starve. I mean, it can start really, really basic and simple and build from there.
It always comes down to the idea that you need to be thinking, be aware, cognizant of the things that you have and not the things that you don't have. Of course, it's easy to say, you know, I was doing a story recently for the news, and there was a story about how, and we see it a lot of times with the homeless here in our community. And there, the story was is that they're keeping the bathrooms open 24/7 in the City Plaza because people who are homeless have no place to use the bathroom. You know, when you got to go, you got to go. And so they end up doing, you know, urinating and whatnot, even worse, you know, in public property. And there's a lot of sympathy I have because I'm like, well, what are they supposed to do?
Right.
And so that's just a big issue that's you know, not to be discussed here, but kind of what the city government's going to do and how to handle that, different ideas on how to handle the homeless. But it makes me think. It makes me feel pity. It makes me feel bad. How do these people feel gratitude when they don't literally have a place to go to the bathroom? How do folks who are in this bind find ways to feel grateful for what they have? And
well,
it breaks
I think
my heart.
It is heartbreaking. I think that how we respond to adversity, whether it's coming from the outside or the inside, really is the root of mental health. It's how do we respond to our interior and exterior cues. And for most people, you know, it's something you have to learn.
So when I bring that up, that might be a complete aside. The people who are homeless, the transients, their issue is I hate to say greater than gratitude. They've got other issues that they're dealing with.
They have lots of issues that they're dealing with.
It might not be applicable to this discussion.
Yeah, well, you know, and I have also, you know, met people who are living on the street who, when they receive help, express a great deal of gratitude.
I've had that happen too.
So, you know, I don't think we can exclude any population as being exempt from the principles we're discussing here.
And you know, yeah, okay. And you know, when you do something to help a person in that situation, and you do it for the right reason, because your heart is open, you're not doing it to curry favor with the public. You're not doing it because you want people to say, wow, what a great person you are, Agiti, or what a great person you are, Jerry. You went and helped a homeless person. You just keep it to yourself. You do get blessings from above, I believe. But there is a great sense of knowing that it makes you feel more grateful to do something for someone.
Well, that goes back to what the research showed, where it says that gratitude benefits more than the individuals who express it. Mm-hmm. Gratitude grows within the social groups and cultures where it is practiced. Mm-hmm. It is contagious.
What percentage of the population do you think is sufficiently grateful for what we have in this country?
I would say 0%. Yeah. That's just off the top of my head. I don't think any of us have exhausted gratitude.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, how much time do we have left in this show? Do you know?
Probably about 4 more minutes.
I'll quickly tell you a story from Saadi. Saadi is one of the great Iranian and one of the great Persian poets. And there was this story that he wrote in one of his narratives about a slave who had to cross on a ferry from one side of the river to the other side of the river. And the slave did not know how to swim. And so he was screaming and crying and sobbing and weeping and wailing. And they came to the philosopher, and that would be Saadi himself. And they said, "What do we do with quiet this man? He's disturbing everybody on the ferry." And Saadi said, "Throw him in the water." And so they picked him up and they threw him in the water. And then the slave was screaming and shouting and drowning in the water. And they said, "What do we do now?" And they said, Saadi said, bring him back onto the ferry. And they did. And now the slave was quiet. He was grateful. He realized the value of the ferry.
Uh-huh.
And I think God does that to us when we complain too much and we weep and we wail and we tell him how bad our circumstances are. God says, "Okay, throw him in the river for a while."
You know, I think, and that's actually, you know, I that's a great way to end the show. We're out of time. We'll continue our discussion about gratitude with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. Thank you for being with us, Gidi.
Thank you.
And we will resume this next Wednesday. And by the way, if you want to reach Gidi, her number is 588-0448. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist at The Growing Place. You can also go to tgplace.org. And again, call her at 588-0448. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back next time. So long.